open my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When we looked at the readings on Wednesday night at Bible study, we really struggled. These are not the easiest of readings. And this morning, Wes said he was glad that it was my turn and not his. Sometimes hard readings do need to be shared with each other. And today is one of those. Comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet. And this happened during the Syro-Phoenician war in 754 years BCE. And Isaiah understands all the political success or failure to be directly related to the moral condition of the society. He believes the present crisis is directly attributable to the injustice and unrighteousness. And so Isaiah also employs a parable method, just like Jesus does in the New Testament. The method of engaging hearers and inviting them to judge for themselves concerning the situations. You might wonder why this passage is called the love story. Listen to the way it starts. Let me sing for my beloved, my love, a love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on very fertile hill. And it goes on to tell you what happened. I'm sure that every person here is familiar with anguish and disappointment at times. And I don't think there's any of us that haven't experienced that. I know there have been times when I've been disappointed with myself even. Sometimes there have been times when I've been disappointed with others. Sometimes I've been disappointed with the whole church itself. And they are difficult times. I feel for the writer because he tells us that he has done everything. He has looked for a beautiful piece of property. He has done everything to prepare the ground. He has tilled it, he spent hours, maybe putting blood and bone on it or whatever they put on it. Have you ever seen a vineyard? Mm-hmm. Yes? What is it that you've seen when you've gone to a vineyard? Sorry? Order. Yes, everything's in rows. Some of them are absolutely huge. You know, if you go to Mildura, you'll see beautiful grapevines, and there's rows and rows and rows of it. And you can imagine how much time that the vine grower has spent on preparation and looking after it and hoping. What do you think is his hope or her hope? Yes, that there's going to be a great crop. And how disappointed would you be if you find that it's not grown what you thought it was going to grow? You'd be devastated, wouldn't you? And I think sometimes in the history of vine growing, something has happened to the vines and it's devastating. And it takes a long, long time to get that growth and those grapes back again. How disappointing. You sit back and you think, well, what's happened? Why did this happen? I did every possible thing. I worked my guts out. Have you ever felt like that sometimes? That you felt that you've worked your guts out for something? You know, even a little patch in our own garden, right? We cleared all that was in there, it was all overgrown. Tommy loved it, I hated it. And we had the gardener once that came in to trim the hedges, and we asked him to weed it all. Right? He reckons he sprayed it as well. Well, if you come to our place today, you'll see that there are weeds growing everywhere. I worked really hard in that patch. And I made sure that it was all covered with mulch. And now the weeds are all coming up. And it's so annoying. And you think to yourself, okay, spent a couple of hours doing that, look at it. And you think to yourself, well, I'll just give up. Just let the weeds grow. Can you imagine that as Isaiah has now turned this into that it was God's work? That God tilled it and looked after it and prepared it and grew and it was destroyed. And in the reading he says, what more could I have done? What more could I have done? What didn't I do? What other thing could I possibly do? And you can hear the pain. We felt that pain on Wednesday night. What it must have been like for God to feel like that. God's generous provision is met with ingratitude. God given. And God must think, okay, I gave you everything. Everything to look after, to care for. I'll help you to nurture it. I'll always be there for you. And there's injustice and unrighteousness. And God says bloodshed. And he says a cry for help. You know, there are times when we see that we can really, you know, God is spirit. And if we, lots of us think of God as a person, don't we? He's a personal friend. And if it was a personal friend standing right beside you who had that happen to them, you would be devastated by them, wouldn't you? And you'd wonder how the heck you were going to be able to help this person get over it even. And then this person is able to cope with what has happened. It doesn't stop. Forgives people for doing all that. And says to all of us, I will never give up. No matter how many times you try something and it doesn't work, don't give up. Don't give up. And God must have been so upset with the people of Judah, the people that he looked after all these years. He rescued them from slavery. They started worshipping other gods and then unrighteousness and bloodshed. Guess what, little flock? You can turn your television on and see for yourself. And we all wonder, oh my gosh, God has given us everything. He's shown us how to love our neighbor as ourselves. How is this possible? We all saw yesterday Trump and Putin, and I don't think that Trump achieved anything by going to have a conversation with him. And you think to yourself, yeah, this is possible. This is going to let it all happen. Take them over anyway. And we find ourselves in the same situation where God is saying, hey, I've done everything here. And I didn't give up on you, and I will never give up on you, because in the end, even among all this pain and heartache, God said, see Jesus. I will move among my people whom I love. I will give them a person that they can relate to in the life, death, and resurrection of that person called Jesus Christ. How lucky are we? How fortunate are we that we can come together today and see what is happening in our world and not lose hope? Not lose hope. Christians are the people of hope. You know, if we don't take anything back today, please think about the world situation and our helplessness sometimes. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to love your neighbour. Continue to strive for letting others know that, hey, there's help available. There's help available here, and God will always help you. So no matter how destroyed sometimes we feel, there is always hope. Because the one who has given us hope died for us and rose again. And it's a gift that is given to each one of us. We're so lucky. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you. In lots of ways this morning we see how hurt you might have felt and how hurt you might be feeling when you see what's happening in our world at this present time. And we give you thanks that you have given us everything. And we give you thanks that we've had an opportunity to think about those things that we treasure the most. Families, our work, the call that you make on our lives to serve you. And you ask us to do that so that the world and the community and the lives that we live might become better, righteous, and that justice might occur. Thank you that you are our risen, crucified Lord, who never fails to love us even when we fail, who gives us strength to get up and have another go. We ask you to fill us with your spirit, that we might be able to continue to